Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. I had to do a little whistle. Just getting my chai tea and so glad to be with all of you today. I mean, really, no place I'd rather be. Welcome, everyone, in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the Chat Room. And good to see everyone there. Get your tea, get your coffee, get your libations, and join us. If you happen to be listening by phone, that's great. And if you're in the chat or listening by phone and you think, I'd like to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 347-539-5122 if you're in the chat. If you're already online at that number, 347-539-5122, press 1 on the keypad and that will get you on air. I love multitasking. It's just so interesting. I'm actually answering a text right now. And wow, are the energies interesting, happening right now, etherically, and we will be diving into that. Again, if you have questions or comments, 347-539-5122, and press 1 on your keypad, and that'll be great, and we'll connect. I love it. I want to also let everybody know at the top of the program, if you have any questions or comments or email questions, anything that dream interpretation, anything that you wanted answered on air, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. That's also the same email to use for, any topic suggestions as well. So make them kind of broad. Otherwise, it's better if you call in. We had a wonderful call or person email along, Haley, I believe, and it's better that you call in. Thank you. Love for all you do. And just subscribe to my podcast, which is great. So we're gonna touch on some email questions. And again, if you have any topic suggestions, anything that you want to know, if I don't know it, I'll find the answer. I'll do my darndest too. Again, that's awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Also, starting June 3rd, it's a 2-module teleworkshop and personal coaching. It's part of a program that I'm doing called the Bones of Communication and Workshop Facilitation. And we've did content creation. This one we're going to focus on group dynamics and how to lead a workshop. And I'm actually trained as a teacher, and I used to teach school. And so I've done a lot of public speaking, a lot of workshops and seminars and retreats around the globe. So I am going to be bringing my knowledge, my insight, my experience. And if this sounds like something that you would like to do, I think we're going to dive into some compassionate communication guidelines for facilitating a workshop and focus a lot on group dynamics. And which is really important when you're doing classes, courses, even public speaking, you can pick up on people's energies. And you'll learn things like where people are positioned, by what people are responding or how they're responding to you, what's going on with them, where they are in the group or in the center, what does that mean, seating position, where people are mostly drawn to. There's a lot. I've been doing the coaching privately, and I had some of my clients say, would you do a course on this or a class? And boy, we did the Bones of Content Creation and Curriculum Development, and we had a blast. Those of you that did it, Thank you. It was really great. And when we got to the interactive part, people would really, really enjoy. I mean, it was just amazing. The insight. I think there were so many people from differing backgrounds, but everybody really contributed. And some people, there were some people in the corporate, some people that did astrology, some people that did art, some people going back in the workplace, some people coming out, some people doing more entrepreneurial. And everybody had just amazing insight to give. So I really loved it. I'm still kind of riding that high. So we have a great guest today. Really kind of looking forward to tapping into Sivan Bomar. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. But he's our awakened guest. He'll be in the second half of the program. And if anybody wants to check him out, he's the author of The Code to the Matrix. He's the developer of Spirit Text, a company that promotes karma-free wealth. And he's the founder of Secret Energy, a social media tribe pioneering open-source spirituality. So we're going to talk to him about that and dive into what he's doing as well as his book. So I feel kind of really lucky, a little wealth of information here and insight. And I love what he's, as a spirit tech myself, as a techie mystic, I look forward. So stick around for that. And all right, so let me dive in a little bit. One of the email questions, let's see, Michelle, I've recently been researching and looking up sources of knowledge and guidance so far as spiritual realms, and just subscribed to your podcast about a week ago. Yay! I had yet to listen to any recordings when I was out walking in nature after an argument with my husband, and your podcast titled, If We're Together, Why Do I Feel So Alone, started playing without my selection in my pocket. Chance or fate? Fate! Synchronicity! I love when that happens. You know, it's so interesting. Our higher self, that expanded awareness of our being, I call the mediating intelligence. So if we look at the universal energy or God, the all that is, as the innate intelligence, it's the creative aspect of the world, and the universes as well. There's a mediating intelligence that we have when we expand in our consciousness, we become more aware, we move into that space of oneness. That's where the insight comes in. That's where we not only know and realize, but feel our interconnectedness to everything and everyone. That's what I do when I'm reading, whether you want to call it remote viewing, channeling, all of the above. You know, I'll have people, I did a reading a couple of weeks ago, and I was describing where they were at, and they're like, how can you see where I'm at? How can you see what I'm? I said, well, I'm just expanding into the oneness. I'm expanding into the all that is that's there. And so we're there. I'm there with you, you know, non-locally. My physical, denser physical body is here, but I expand in consciousness and awareness. And wow, what a trip to live that way all the time. That would be wow. So now, Haley, this, you've got a lot of bit. I'm going to just want to dive in a little bit, talking about feeling dragged down, and it's an unhealthy feeling that it's an unhealthy square of a relationship that you're trying to force the circle. I'm hoping you can call in. And she's saying, I've tried to create boundaries for myself, but I still feel at times pulled thin and generally down. Is this a relationship that just requires commitment and boundaries, or is it an unhealthy square of a relationship that I'm trying to force through a circle? Ooh, good point. I know. There's a lot of that right now. Here's what I would say to you and to everyone that is listening. Thank you, Tamara, for putting that in the chat. My Eventbrite. Gemini Moon knows love Sivan. He rocks it out. Yay, great. We are really being challenged right now in relationships. And some of you have heard me. I've done some Facebook Live. You know, it's on my page, profile page. Michelle Mache is the name. I think it's on my Awakenings as well. But if you follow or friend me, you can listen to it. And I did do a couple of, you know, I did talk about it on this show as well, on the podcast, and I had a little bit of resistance. But I always know when I'm on the right track, there'll be some resistance. You know, part of what's happening, and this ties into relationship, I'm not going off on a tangent, I'm going to bring it around. I just wanted to ask everybody, you know, did we all think we were going to go to an island? Yes. Do we think we're going to go to the Himalayas and disappear? Yes. Do we think the ascension means we're all going to pop up to heaven and leave all the non-believers, the unconscious, the less aware people behind? Oh, you would like it to be like that. No, ascension simply has to do with raising consciousness or awareness. It's a vibrational thing. We're not, you know, it's metaphorical, the rising up. It's accessing more of the upper chakras, more of the right brain, what I like to call Einstein thinking, activating more of the pituitary. It also ties into some shifting on a cellular and DNA level. So accessing the upper channels, ascending, rising. Metaphysically, we say to rise above. The I Ching talks about this. You know, it's a colloquialism, taking the high road. So a lot of us light workers, we like to just stay. I'm a bit with you, where it's easier. Why do we want to be paired with people that are painy and not getting moving along fast enough? You know, or not getting it, not, you know, not as conscious, not awake, not as aware. I hear you, but a lot of what we have right now in the world, that harmony through conflict, is causing people to be very polarized or polarizing to not only highlight the differences, but also to wake people up so that it is so painful, it is so tight, it is so, and part of it has been up with the more aware people, the light workers, star seeds, the light beings, that we need to extend out and set and define ways, yes, through boundaries, through not living our truth, but speaking our truth, not being afraid to get angry, not being afraid to be in our emotions. There's so much shadow material that got projected out onto a certain group of people or out there, but not inside. And so, yes, so some of us are paired with, you know, a little bit people that are not as aware on this dimension, on this level. They're holding and expressing that polarity. But what it does, and I had a little instance with this recently, it shows us where we still need our own work. It shows us where we're not, where we have hardened feelings and we're not able to dissolve the hardness and move into forgiveness and compassion and understanding. Now, does that mean you stay in an abusive relationship? No, not really. But at the same time, you know, you can't say, you know, the us and them. So I do realize, and what I realize too is a lot of it is the light workers usually not being strong enough to say no or find your own light or you're draining me and pulling back and or telling people read this book or do this or this is what I suggest or you need to be in therapy or you need to work, you know, do resonance repatterning or hypnotherapy or this is bringing us down. Then if somebody isn't doing the work and it is dragging you down and dragging you down, there will be a natural opening. Either enough is enough or something happens seemingly externally, either with yourself or the other person, and you move out of that relationship or out of that situation or circumstance. But it all has to do with people. And so relationships on a soul level are a call for balancing. They're a call for healing. They're a call for taking back projections. They're a call for seeing what's being mirrored to us, but they're also a call to move into perception. So I can't, without you calling in, Haley, and us talking a little bit more, me tuning in, I can't say stay or go. What I can say by tuning into your energy and the question that you were asking is that you still have stuff to learn. And I know it doesn't seem fun. The other day I was watching a show and I thought, we do have a lot of drama on the earth plane. We really do, you know. And by the way, a lot of times people want to say, oh, spiritual communities. I have found sometimes those are the worst because they don't tend to do their emotional healing work. They don't work mentally, emotionally. And there's a lot of backbiting. And I've seen it in, you know, I've seen it in organizations, I've witnessed it, I've experienced it, and it all boils down to people not focusing also on the third chakra, the Hara center, the empowerment center, which is the identity center. It's the place of the personality, the all that is, or God, the I am that I am, expressing as a particular personality on this dimension. And so there's a lot of wounding around that. Or there's a lot of trauma that's happened to people, a lot of wounding, and then they're living out of that wounding that is there. So it's not an easy yes or no or stay or go answer. And right now where we're at, I'm not going to say historical, but it's part historical, but it's beyond that as well, a level in this converging flow of the awakenings, which is the soul alignment is trying to happen. And so there's this converging flow where there's this awakening that's happening in all sectors. And it's forcing people to heal more, but it's forcing the wounding to be more apparent. What I can say running away from won't be helpful, but tolerating what isn't respectful or honoring isn't helpful either. So you have to find the right boundaries for you to ascend or raise your vibrational frequency in that. And then that gives that person that other aspect of you, because we are aspects of each other, to either rise to the occasion, or you'll be relieved. You'll be relieved of your services. You'll be relieved of your mission. What's Tamara? That spiritual superiority stuff some have. Ooh, yeah, really has to go. All relationships have value and something to teach us. Oh, my God, why is Tamara in the chat? Yes, they do. And the more that we realize that, even in the most heinous, as a therapist and counselor and healer, I've worked with people that have gone through some really heinous situations, very, very abusive situations, molestation long-term, rape. And at some point in the healing process, it comes to the point that what have you learned from this, or what have you gained? Not from the horrible act itself, not by the cheating, not by the betrayal, not by the rape or your loved one being murdered, not by the act. That's what we have to discern. You're never forgiving the act. What we do when we move into forgiveness is we move into the space of the awareness of understanding how people and us, how we all act out of wounding at some point. And so but again, there's accountability. If someone keeps acting out of the wound, then you'll be, if you're not doing that anymore, you'll be scooted out of their life, or they'll be scooted out of yours, or something will happen. And again, it's not hard and fast, but one of the things that we are healing is the earthbound wounding from separation. People don't harm each other unless they feel separate. And I like to say their mirror is dirty, so they're not seeing their own light reflected. So again, as Gerald Jampolsky says, everything is either a cry for love or an expression of love, no matter how twisted it is. Because love is the unifying principle of the universe. So people are either going towards love, trying to get it, trying to give it, or trying to express it. Now, to the degree that people are wounded and living out of the wound and haven't healed enough, or there's some deficit, personality or character deficit, sometimes it can be the spiritual connection is blocked. Some of you have heard me give stories when I've done soul retrieval that people are so off, because everything is alive, everything is consciousness, everything is animated. But if your ego personality is not aligned to your spiritual center and your soul, your spiritual essence, then woohoo, life is going to be not so pretty. Okay, so people always ask, a lot of times ask me, well, why would they do this? And I'll say they're not connected. So there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of us against them. And sometimes people are so traumatized that connection is very thin, or it's broken, or it's so far to one side, left or the right, they're not in alignment. what saves us all is our spiritual understanding, our spiritual connection, a connection to our soul that we're unique, we have a sense of purpose, we have a right to be here, we know no matter what happens, we'll bounce back, we have faith, we can pray, we can get healing, we can help heal others. That, you know, I think a lot of times our those of you that are more, I wouldn't say more expanded in consciousness, I don't want to say advanced, but we're more expanded in consciousness, sometimes we forget what it's like for people that don't have that sense of connectedness. It's a lonely, scary world, and it's a why is this happening to me? I mean, we all go through that. I mean, there is that, we're human. There's that cycle of grief, you know, shock. Why is this happening to me? What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Then anger, then the loss and the sadness, the apathy, then the, you know, or numbness. Numbness can sometimes be first, and then the shock. I don't believe it. So it's the marrying. That's the divine union, the conjunctio, what we call metaphysically, of the human experience to the spiritual awareness and the soul connectedness. And that's where we're at right now. So there's a lot of upheaval in relationships right now. And relationships are a system. They're a little mini company, a little mini system. So with that Pluto and Capricorn, and aspecting that Uranus and Aries, there is, how do I be free? How do I be me? But how do I be with you? How do I be connected? And all systems, whether it's a governmental system, educational system, healthcare system, you know, all type, you know, spiritual center system, groups of all sorts are being disrupted right now. And so it's disrupting relating and relationships. And it's calling ourselves, if we look at we're our own little system, body, mind, spirit system, right, with the soul, we're being disrupted to say, hey, where are you not stepping up? Where are you not speaking your truth? Where are you backing down or kowtowing? Where are you speaking your truth but not living it? Where are you holding yourself back? Where are you not allowing yourself to go to the next level of your soul's unfoldment? So we're getting a lot of these questions from ourselves, from the macrocosm, the aspect of our being, the co-creative aspect of our being is wanting us to evolve, is wanting us to grow so there can be more soul expression. So we can have these interconnected groups. We can have this more of a life based on connection, collaboration, communication, coherence, and not the separation, separated out. That was the old paradigm. So we're getting bumped up against wounds. You know, I had something that I had, you know, this past weekend where, you know, I don't get in total detail, but some kind of betrayal, shocking stuff, really out of the blue, but I kind of sensed it. And I really had to speak my truth, not just live it, because I'd been living it. And I actually got, you know, called like I'm boring and this. And part of it is I'm not, you know, I'm not going to judge other people, but what I want in my life, I'm not into drugs. I don't even really like taking medications if I don't have to. I think it's fine if people want to experiment, and, you know, I did in my younger years, but I think it's something that impedes people mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and definitely on the spiritual level. Too much drinking and too much doing drugs does put holes in your aura. It weighs you down. It opens you to other influences, entities. Little bit, fine. But so I really, you know, so people kind of turned on me that I'm against that. And I said, oh, I'm the same person I have been when you met me, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was. I'm the same me. I'm not, you know, and I don't have to like that or want to be around that. That's my personal choice. So I bring that up because that's one of the things that's going to be happening for many people is that, you know, I felt, well, I'm holding the space for these people. I'm fine. You know, I'm being not in judgment. I don't want it around me on a close basis. But can they do that as well? So some of you, whether it's an individual relationship, organizations, you might be called to someone wanting you to do something that you don't want to do or feel that's not ethical for you or not of integrity. So we're, and you see this in the political arena. you know, across the globe, and especially in the United States, what are people talking about? Ethics. What happened to ethics? Integrity. People are doing things just for the money. They're like, oh, I'll just go out and just say this non-truth, just, but it's okay. You know, it's just my job. Not in the new paradigm. That is not going to fly. So if something is really not integrist for you and it's really rubbing you the wrong way on a soul level, the call for you is to live in your truth, to be in your truth. For some of you, it'll be speaking your truth, speaking through writing, through expression, how you live. Some of you will actually be verbalizing your truth and being okay if you're misunderstood. This is the whole idea of resonance. Not that we separate out from people or cut off, because we're all interconnected, but that we recognize and we have our, I want to call maybe safety zones or places where we feel very comfortable, but not in cutting off. That's very important. But that we listen, we follow the resonance, we follow where we guided, which direction, to what groups, what people, what situations, what career, what job, what, where are we guided by our spiritual urge, our nudge. We're guided there. There's an opening. Sometimes it doesn't look like what we thought it was going to look like, but it's based on resonance. But within that, we all have to learn, because in the old paradigm, in the Pisces era, it was a lot about us against them, or this tribe or that tribe against that. This one's better, that one's better, this religion's better. Oh, that's not, no, you don't know that. You know, you're no, you don't know God, my God, this and that. So there was this cutting off. It was a different form of tribalism. So now, because everything is a belief, that really boils down to belief. What do you believe is true? What do you believe will happen to you? As a, you know, you're creating. We have a shared reality, but we're also creating our individual reality, and we're contributing to the shared reality. So what is now being called into action, into form, to witness and look at and to also experience, is how do we be in groups without sacrificing, self-sacrificing, or saying this group is bad and this is good? It's about moving into the resonance, saying, well, this one I resonate more with, or there's more resonance, or I'm guided over here. So staying out of the extremes of the polarity, moving into that middle path or middle road, and seeing the validity of all paths, all groups, but recognizing where you're best suited for your gifts without cutting off or saying, well, A is better than B. You know, you can say it's better for me or better for me at this time. And so in the Piscean era, there was a lot of self-sacrifice and martyrdom to be in a group, and a lot of, that's where you got the group think, group mind, where people just, and humans have that psychologically, get worn down, or one person says something, and if you're not connected to your sense of self, you're not connected to that soul, you're going to be swept along. So it is that time of understanding that and seeing the validity of the all that is in these various forms. Oh, brilliant, Tamara. Discernment, not judgment. Yeah. And I say spiritual discernment, discerning, you know, and that's the only way we're going to move into that cooperation. And that's why we have right now the harmony through conflict, where a lot of people are saying, you know, I'm done with this. But you might be done with it. If the people or person or the situation is not growing with you, or you're not able to grow within it, then usually it is time to move on, or you will be moved on, or they will be moved on, or something will shift within that situation. Just make sure you've gotten the learnings and the gift, that you've come full circle with it, so you don't have to repeat it. All right. So, Haley, I hope that gave you some insight. And I kind of went a little broader with my answer, because I had quite a few questions from listeners on relationship and what's happening with relationship, and a few little breakups and divorces, and this is what is happening. But, see, we can't carry people along anymore. This is a time of enabling, or codependency is ending, because everyone has the same chance to get to the light, and especially if you're paired with a light worker or a star seed. So we're never meant to, you know, we're never meant to be someone's light. We're meant to help shine the light or shine a light or show them where the light is, you know. But if, you know, we're not to keep turning the light switch on. Eventually you have to tell somebody, hey, you're right by the light switch. Okay. I have to walk 6 feet to get to it. You're right there a foot away. Switch on the light. Right. The mainframe, the big mainframe. So guidance or light worker, you know, or you look in the archetypal imagery of the hermit with the lantern, has the lantern, but that's just like a flashlight when you're camping. That's to help a certain part on the path, but you don't keep walking with that person or that people or situation being the only one that has the light. Give everybody flashlights. Have them go get their own flashlight. So, you know, a lighthouse is not the only source of light. There is the sun, you know, there is the universal light. So that's, I feel like, a big wake-up call for people is really not to enable. And it's hard. It requires really strict boundaries sometimes and using your spiritual tools. By the way, if you go to my soulplayground.life or soulplayground.com, I do have some little freebie tools, projection, perception. My blog is there. Some tools that really work with processing and empowerment and are really helpful with relationships, navigating through this. You know, and remember, the resistance that people are putting on you or projecting usually is their own inner resistance. Their own higher self or inner psyche is deeming that they grow, that they become more expanded in consciousness so that they can connect with their soul or more completely with their soul. But if they don't want to do it, they may be projecting it onto you that you're the one that's problematic, right? So some of it is to take the projection and put, you know, move into perception. What's going on here, you know? And don't take the shadow on. Don't take the shadow material on of someone else. You know, if you look at, you know, the Aquarian age, it's very detached. It's very bonded and connected. But it also is very say it like it is. I have a really, really good friend and client that's an Aquarius. And she just says it like it is. They just, boom, this is the truth. Boom, there it is. So we all are getting a little kick in the, you know what, to say, hey, stop mumbling and fumbling and just say it like it is. If you see somebody lying and you know they're lying, say it like it is. Hey, you're lying. You're not telling the truth. I can see it. You know, or you're fooling yourself or you're holding yourself back. So there'll be less of this tippy-toe, politically correct, I don't want to say anything, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but you're thinking it anyway. So it's a thought form. So it's there, and everybody's picking it up subconsciously. We are each other's brothers and sisters. We are each other's keeper. We need for each of us to hold ourselves accountable. Otherwise, we won't grow into this next level. So that's what's going on. Let us get to, we can do one question each. I'm going to try to do it quickly because we've got a lot of calls. Number again, 347-539-5122, and press 1 on your keypad to get on air. And we're on air with 847-924. Hello.
Oh, hi, Michelle. How are you?
Oh, hi. Who is this?
Sophia.
Oh, hey, Sophia. Welcome. What's your question?
My question is, I've been trying to quit smoking, and it's really hard for me. I would like any advice whatsoever you have for me, and anything would help.
Anything?
Any advice. I've tried a lot of things, but it just really hasn't worked for me.
Well, as a therapist, as a hypnotherapist, I have a quit smoking program that you could do. As far as you got to really get to the subconscious patterning of why you're doing it and not able, you know, there's usually a mental emotional component. There's a little bit of a physiological as well because it is addictive. So it's just like sugar. You can try things like diatomaceous earth, food grade diatomaceous earth to clean out. But what I have found is really getting to the whatever the anxiety, whatever the primary or competing, you know, emotion or state of being that's there, that's holding that in place.
So it's emotional, not primarily physiological, if that's what you're saying.
There's always, you know, what I have found, when I used to do a lot of, I worked as a medical hypnotherapist, so I did a lot of pre-op, post-op. I worked with cardiologists, and therefore their cardiac patients, health, fitness, wellness, anxiety. So I did a lot of quit smoking. I found there's always an emotional component. Not just physiological. And if the mental emotional component isn't handled, usually there's another condition or addiction that comes through, or another coping mechanism, whether it's bulimia, anorexia, cutting, whatever. It can be all over the place. Something overworking out till you know, can't hardly be. There's something there. So usually, you know, you can handle the one, you know, the symptom of the smoking, what that coping, once you find out what the coping mechanism is, you have to put in what we call a competing idea. You have to put another healthier pattern in there. Otherwise, when you get stressed or whatever is going on mentally, emotionally, you know, I find really, in some ways, the mental emotional component is stronger than the physiological. Because you can do detox, you know, and detox from whether it's, you know, drug. Well, it is a drug. Nicotine is a drug. But if the mental emotional component isn't handled, you'll want to go back to that as a way of coping.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you need what we call a pattern interrupt. You need a pattern interrupt. I mean, you can try things. Some people have tried yoga, meditation. There's a lot of things you can try, going for a walk, with something that interrupts the pattern of you wanting to smoke. But again, if that mental emotional component hasn't handled, the pattern interrupt either doesn't fully interrupt or doesn't interrupt consistently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Okay. That helps. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Sophia. Good to connect. Hi, 847-344. You're on air.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey,
this is Kyle in Chicago, the musician. We've spoke a few times.
Kyle.
Matthew Alexander. Hey, how's it going?
Yes. Doing great.
Good, yeah. I've been following your show.
Tell my buddy I said hi.
Oh, I definitely will. I will. I follow your show all the time, the podcast. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm calling in because the last time we spoke, I was mixed with my musical career and everything. I had my solo project and another project I was in, mm-hmm. and now it's just my solo project. So I'm kind of curious on maybe like what might be for the future with my solo stuff, because I feel more connected to it now, and it's my personal thing. So I feel really attached and really good now with what's going on with that.
Okay. Now, were you in a band?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm feeling that. Are you in one again? Because I'm feeling more than just you by yourself. Does that make
sense? I'm in my solo project. I'm in with another guy, another musician.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's a full band now.
It is a full band. Okay, so I'm seeing.
Yes.
But I'm seeing more than just you and one person, though. I'm seeing like a band.
Band.
Like
there's
three, four,
well, there's,
five. So,
yeah,
more
there'll
people
be one more
in
person.
It.
Yeah, soon to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Soon to be.
Okay. Well, it looks good. It's showing you're structuring things. Now, the one thing I do feel is that there's going to be performance. I feel recording, but I feel you're moving more into performance and getting your name out there more. I don't know if you have that planned yet, but that's where I see it going.
Yeah, definitely.
You do. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, it looks like it starts picking up, but it is, again, showing that you're just in the structuring or putting it together phase. I do see you working with some kind of rep or agent also, and I do see you getting on some kind of circuit. So it's both recording and performing is what I'm hearing. Does that make sense?
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear from you, Kyle. Huh?
Definitely. And I was going to say, from the beginning of your episode, when you were talking about relationships and everything, and, you know, people following kind of what they need to do and say to have everything work out for them, I definitely agree with that. I was kind of mixed with my whole musical career, and now I'm just going the path that I should go personally, and it's working out amazing. So everybody else, you know, just follow your dreams and just keep going with what you want to do. So
Kyle,
I just want to thank you
for
that.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, a lot of times people are listening to the program and they're, you know, it's good to hear other people that did follow the resonance. They made those choices that were good for them, because sometimes people hold back. They're scared of the unknown and they're like, well, mm-hmm. I feel like I should go in this direction, but they don't, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And my whole musical career, I was in like metal bands and playing metal music. And now I transitioned my solo stuff, which is kind of like a spiritual rock essence where there's crystal balls and everything in there and binary beats to help you meditate while you're listening to my music. I've used a lot of meditation techniques in my music. It's called Braintenna, actually, is my project. And, you know, following that.
Braintenna?
Yeah, Braintenna, Braintenna. It's on Facebook and everything. But it's all about chakras and tuning your body and being aligned. And there's a whole story behind it, kind of my personal journey. And from doing this, I'm kind of done with metal and just doing my own thing. And I feel great. And I know other people out there, if they just do the same thing, you know, they'll be so happy.
Yeah.
Everything will work out great for you. So.
Wow, I love that. No wonder, because I felt more acoustic. I felt like a softer.
Definitely
put your link on my Awakenings page and profile page as well. Let people know. And Tamara in the chat is saying, great to hear from Kyle again.
Oh.
So Tamara got some saying hello. Yeah.
Oh,
that's great, Kyle. That is absolutely great. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know you've inspired me. So I know you inspired a lot of other listeners as well.
Definitely. And I'll keep calling throughout the months and everything. And definitely thank you for answering all that. Have a good day.
You too. Take good care.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, what a wonderful story. I love it. I love it. Hi, 860-836. You're on air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Who's this?
It's Amla.
Say the first name again.
It's Amla.
Amla.
I'm here.
Amla. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you? I'm doing great now that I'm on air with all of you. Doing really well, actually. Feeling inspired.
I'm really, finally, I'm in New England. I'm in Connecticut, and finally the sun is shining. I'm serious. It's been a heck of a spring. So I'm just excited about the sun.
California. I've got a sweater on. I had my back door open, and it's like, oh, it's so cold.
Oh.
I actually put the heat on for a little bit. Yeah.
It's too funny. So I have a question about partnerships. If you see me meeting somebody special, it's perfect for me. Not maybe somebody else, but perfect for me, like what I'm looking for. I don't want.
Yeah, and you want a thinker. You want a feeler, but you want a thinker. You want somebody very philosophically and spiritually aligned to you, similar goals.
Yeah.
And I also feel spiritual group or some kind of focus with a group that supports you.
Yes.
You know, like friends. Let's see. Well, I do see something in the, you know, end of, actually not that far off, probably maybe June.
Okay.
But I don't know, that might be, there it is. There's some new place that you're going to go to that you've been wanting to check out that I feel you meeting someone. So it's going to be within, I feel like it could be a spiritual center, spiritual group, or philosophical. But I feel like there's a group in focus involved. Now, where are you? Are you traveling in the next month or two? I'm seeing a trip.
Yeah, actually, I'm a speaker. I ask you, do you?
Oh.
So that's like a there's a There's a retreat center an hour away, and then I'm going about a half an hour away a couple of weeks from now. And
That's why. Okay, because I see. Well, so you are with the spiritual centers. It's something, and I was going to say, it could be involved with your work or around your work, is what I'm hearing. But it's definitely amongst what you're doing now, I can tell you that much. And it's also around a trip, is what I see.
There might be somebody
first that's more like a friend or somebody that you end up collaborating with. But then I do feel, and I feel like it could be this year, actually, I do feel a longer, you know, partnership, somebody that you can work and play with is what I'm hearing.
Okay. So this same person could be the one in June, that person could be long-term. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I almost feel like the person that's in June is maybe more work or collaborative.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Could it be this guy, Jay? Could it be this guy, Jay? Yeah.
Oh, that's more of a friend. Yeah, no, that's someone from the past and showing more of a friendship or collaboration.
Okay.
So if he's around you now, then it's the next one then. Because there's one that's going to be around you. There's one that's around you where you kind of, you're not, it doesn't quite materialize, you know, on the kind of romantic-y level. It kind of almost goes there and not almost, and there could be more work or collaboration, or they could be a speaker as well, or you could do something together or be on the same panel. And then from there, it's the other, there's another person that comes in. Were you thinking of working with the, because I almost feel like it's not just, you know, for lack of a better word, romance. Yeah, it's also work. Yeah. Some work together.
I mean, I'm already a deep thinker, so that's what you first cross. You know, I want to think.
Yeah.
I want a person who's outside of the box. I want a person who challenges me. You know,
yeah,
and,
I hear you.
Away than the mind. So yeah, I mean, I want somebody I could. That's how I play, so to speak, in air quotes.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love challenging each other. And so that kind of can be work because I am a speaker and I talk about my challenge. I'm actually legally blind, so I'm gradually losing my vision. So it's just been I'm in my 40s now. I have tunnel vision, so I could still read and all that. Thank God I could still read, but all intents and purposes, of course. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that's what I talk about as far as perseverance and resilience and believing in who you are because you're all you've got.
Yeah.
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 So.
Mm.
So that's what I
love it.
I would work with him anyway, partnership. I think it's more than just just romance at my.
Yeah, it's more than romance. I feel like there's some kind of work situation there, collaboration. So they're definitely on the same page as you. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Because I am yet.
All right.
I have not met him yet.
Okay.
I feel like met him yet then. So it's probably somebody new. Yeah.
Someone new, I feel. Yeah. All right. Take care. I think we have time for one more caller waiting for our guest to get on air. Okay. 815-662, you're on air.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. And who is this and how are you?
Hi, my name is Tamara. So you have another Tamara listener.
Oh, okay. Hey, Tamara.
Hi.
Great. What's your question?
So I've got a question. Quick question for you. What do your guides see for me as far as my love life?
Okay. Let's get that. You're another cut. You're light, but deep thinking too. You're starting to go. I feel deeper into your spiritual path. I'm kind of feeling this year as well, and I feel more August, September.
Okay.
And it's telling yourself to get out there though, kind of networking, small groups.
Okay.
Going to get it. Well, the next step for you is getting, does this make sense, getting out of the rut? You've been kind of in a rut doing the same thing?
Definitely been in a rut. I'm actually, yeah. I'm kind of have someone that I'm interested in, so I'm wondering if there's any place that might be going.
Here's the thing. I'm getting, well, somewhat. Is it more of a friend? Kind of social friend thing?
I'm getting romance. Not really. Not really.
What is it to you?
To me, it's, I think it's more of a, it's more of a romantic connection. I mean, we talked about possibly getting together in the future as a couple or things like that. So, but we're not at that stage right now.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting, because I don't get, that's what I just said. Yeah. I don't know. I know guys mostly when they want it, they go for it. So I don't know. This kind of frenzy, zenzy, boozy, I'm not wild about. I think
right.
Don't close your options off when that's happening. But be open to everything. I mean, again, it's not about the person. That infinite love is coming from source, coming through people in situations. You know, no one is our supply and source. So what I say, instead of saying it is that one, and we've talked about maybe and maybe that, that's me, something's off, something's, you know, but why aren't they hitting it? Why aren't, you know what I'm saying? So I would keep it in the friend zone and keep it light while you open. That's probably why it's saying you need to get out of your rut. You need to break out and go into some different avenues, little groups, art galleries, whatever, cafes, whatever you do, you know, just get out a little bit. And you know what I like, when I was kind of in that space, I just would get out and just like feel the love myself, you know, and just being the little love bug, just feeling the universal love, the love for everyone, and get out there. Yeah, because I'm not getting him. It's showing friend zone. It's showing non-committal. It's showing maybe, but I don't know if I even want a relationship or can I, or, you know. So I would just say sometimes when you do that, it can activate what needs to happen. But waiting and watching, I don't feel that.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe that's why it's showing it's a little bit later. But why not? Enjoy each other's company. You know, I think if you have to talk about being a couple and this and that, you know, these are things I think that, not saying it's no hard and fast rule, but I would just say right now, enjoy this person's company, but stretch out. Does that help?
Okay. That helps. Thank you.
All right. All right, Tamara. Keep us posted.
All right. Thank you.
Oops. Woo. Disappeared. Oh, wow. Okay, so it is time for our awakened guests. And I did give a little description at the top of the program, but for those of you that are just tuning in and weren't listening at the top of the program, we have with us, I hope I'm saying the name right, Sivan Bomer, who is the founder of Secret Energy, a social media tribe pioneering open source spirituality, which utilizes the collective intelligence of its members to solve life's most complex riddles. He's also a motivational speaker. He's the author of The Code to the Matrix and developer of Spirit Text, a company that promotes karma-free wealth. And hello, Sivan.
Wholeness, hello. Michelle, how are you doing?
Hey!
Hello.
I tried to connect.
Hey.
Hello. Hey. Please. Okay, is it Sivan?
Yes, it is.
Is that
it's
how you
Sivan.
Say your name? Okay. Sivan,
yes.
Perfect. Okay, let me get that. Wow, have you been following your soul's nudging and purpose? Wow, what I love what you're doing.
Thank you
really,
so much.
Really,
yeah,
do.
We've been really, really getting it done.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I love it. We need more of this. Okay, I really want to dive in. I'm so cute. I'm a bit of a techie myself. I call myself a mystic tech. So I love that you're merging the whole spirituality consciousness with technology. first and foremost, I just want to know your first awakening, and then what subsequently brought you to what you're doing now.
Well, I'll definitely say I can really only denote my most powerful level of awakening that sparked this recent action of me just, you know, opening up all these different networks and working with so many people around the world. And that's actually, I got to a point in life where I started to really explore consciousness. In fact, I did that. I've done that all my life. And I kind of walked away from that for a while. Mm. And something seemed to draw me back in and give me some suggestions to use some things that I had learned about in the past that were on an esoteric level, on a spiritual level, claimed to be very powerful. And that had to do with a sequence of words that were supposedly lost. Now, I can definitely say now that I'm way beyond that point, and looking back on it, I can say that there were a series of things that were actually occurring in that same scenario that sparked the situation itself. And one of those things actually was the use of ultraviolet light and then the use of our tones and vibrations, which we can naturally emit. And to the point where I broke the field, if you may, the stagnant field around my previous character. And then I came out into something much more expansive. And in that process, I also learned a lot about the abilities that we actually do have. And it kind of took me really a lot to process the experience, because I was coming from a very, still a very strong logical side. I was a computer engineer, and I had worked with business and entrepreneurship in those areas. And so it got to a point where it was much more difficult for me to prove that what I was experiencing and what I had come to know wasn't true than that it was true. And that's really what created the rift in my life between the past and what I was doing and the people that I was affiliated with to this new future that I had actually no choice in accepting, because it was much more real than the illusion that I was currently living in.
Mm-hmm. So how did that – so you've always been – I say a seeker, finder, being, you know, beer. So you've always had this kind of connection is what I'm hearing. So what was
Oh, I was going to, you know, add a little bit to that. That actually came from my upbringing. I was actually homeschooled, and my mother was really interested in understanding God and experiencing God. And just in a really vivid way, I guess there's kind of degrees to how many of us can seek that higher power within ourselves, or even sometimes perceived to be external to ourselves. So I was there to witness that. I was in a very fertile age in my life. And also my mom implemented many things around the house that also caused this, like no watching TV and, you know, read these spiritual books. And so basically spiritual books and many books that most people don't have access to, as far as the backstory to many of the most popular traditions and religions, I had as like my, my X-Men and my, my entertainment. So when I got to a certain age, I would even interact with people who were, let's say, Christians or in Muslims. And I would always kind of give them the rest of the story of the traditions that they believed in. And they would say, yeah, that sounds interesting and it connects, but it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Quran. And so I would have to recall, well, where did I hear that from? And it was, of course, because I had read already so much of these works that centered around the theme of monotheism.
So what brought you to then that opening, okay, now I'm going to go in this direction and actually bring in the idea of technology, or how technology can serve this higher awareness or higher consciousness?
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting question, because things kind of culminated. I was actually once going into this, we can say, a high vibration awakening, you know, whatever term you're going to use. I actually was really looking for my departure from the world, just in the strictest tense to how I was experiencing it. And because I was capable of doing things, I just, again, wanted to really isolate myself and kind of discover, hey, what exactly is going on? So I actually moved to Costa Rica during that process. And I was aware of a certain amount of information once I went through this process. It was literally like I was transferred a large amount of encrypted information. And through a process, I began to decrypt that information. And I wrote a book that I wrote about 5 years, 6 years ago, and actually released on the internet for free, called The Code to the Matrix. And what the book centers around is that words actually have a code within them, and it gives you the true definition of those words. And if you're capable of following this riddle or path, and it, which also exists in other languages, then you would begin to learn the depths of what's actually going on in all realities, because language can't just be changed right away for a group of people. It has to still contain elements of the previous language. So it was literally a path of breadcrumbs to begin to go down. And so once I moved away, I actually wrote the code to the Matrix as kind of like a last will and testament. Hey, this information is not going to die with me. I highly illustrated it. It's about 230-something pages with tons of images, because I felt that seeing was believing for most people. And needless to say, after I self-published that book, it went viral. And I was getting so many emails from people that were either experiencing what I had experienced, and I had given them extra pointers to what was going on, or that they felt something was going on that they couldn't put their finger on, and now this was giving it to them. And so, you know, just being a kind person already inside, just all my life, I felt it kind of like a mission to take on to help these people. So I started a website, and it was different because it wasn't like, oh, here's another guru. It was more like, okay, I'm on this real-time mission, and I'm just reporting back to you in real time what I'm experiencing, but you're still the central character in all of this. And that really caught on with people, because at least the people who were kind of getting into the more advanced side of, you know, what religions attempt to teach. But this was perfect for them, because they realized in order to go on, they had to let go of the concept of anything that was external, that was greater, and to search for that within themselves and to awaken that within themselves. So, and then the spin on this is that obviously, you know, sometimes they say you can't handle the truth. So in many tenses, some of the stuff that this, having this blueprint, not only in the language and the information, but also when we started to connect symbolism and geometry, it was revealing things to us that I felt that in many times, every time I would transmit a message, because all the messages, there's hundreds of them, they're all different in their unique way of me going through what I would say is different cosmos, different constellations, and the symbols and the characters and the archetypes that exist there. Of course, it would rub some people obviously the wrong way. And then others, it would be like, okay, I don't understand what he's saying. And then obviously the people that follow along with it were like, okay, I'm seeing a pattern here. So through that process also, it kind of kept us, I would say, grassroots. Like we have millions of impressions all over the internet. There's 18,000 people in our social network now. But still, we're kind of like flying low, like below the radar. And so what ended up happening was at a certain point when I decided to fully come in this, because I do have a business background and I'm, you know, I'm very proficient at many things. And I decided, you know what, I think that we can pause for a moment just on the spiritual knowledge. It seems like I've cracked through something that's going to take people a bit of time to digest. Why don't we start working on things that people are having immediate problems with? And of course, that stems into finance, and that stems into success of in having resources. So I always try to find where the connection is between what I'm doing and what I'm going to do. That way I don't, you know, get out of my lane too far. And so I started looking at a lot of the technologies, such as, let's say, Flanagan's Neurophone and radionics and psychotronics and all of those kind of things, and also just some ancient knowledge that
working
was actually revealing
energy,
that
vibration.
In ancient times. Yeah, exactly, in crystals, oscillations, and amplifications. But my issue was, because I actually worked on a clinic after the fact, I worked for a clinic for about a year and a half, a holistic clinic that had access to anything that you can think of. I mean, bioresonance pad, lots of stuff. So in my spiritual process, I also got a chance to try all that stuff and kind of like create this list of what doesn't work and what's just a box of computer chips and LED lights versus what's clearly doing something. And in that, you know, I would break down many of those devices and I would see their inner workings. And I decided, you know, we should probably consider that it's not necessarily technology, which is actually more of an old word, like Aztec, that we can't consider we can't consider technology.
You're
considering
it consciousness? Are you considering it? What are you considering it?
Well, I would say considering it nefarious, because I think that many people think that technology is counterproductive to spirituality. But actually, the crescendo of, I don't live in duality, but again, it does seem for people, because even money could be that way for people, I think, that, you know, they could see it as counterproductive to spirituality. So what it really was is obviously the technological use of many things has not really gotten its fair share, because there are few conscious inventors and even fewer conscious entrepreneurs that have the resources to bring something forward. So this is what we're solving, and not only that, what we're doing is we're also giving other people an opportunity to get involved in what we're doing. So there's an affiliate program that's attached to it, and we just call it Karma Free Wealth. So it's just a way to turn around energy and to show a new aspect of how to do things, basically bringing the words work and job out of the equation and bringing back in fun connections and ways to get indoors that otherwise would have been barred. And so that's just, of course, that's one aspect of what we're doing, but it is very prominent now, and we're doing well.
Let's roll back here again. So you're starting to touch on this. So tell us a little bit about the Secret Energy social media tribe, and you're saying that you're pioneering open source spirituality. So walk us through that a bit, how you're doing
for
this.
Sure.
How is
so
it
what
set
happened
up?
Is after the website, which was The Resistance, it actually ranked number one on Google for years for those keywords. So it was massive. And we were just I was sharing all the information there and the pictures, and I was doing videos. I had a radio show. I had a live stream show, et cetera. And then what happened when it got so large, we realized that we needed more functionality. We need like algorithm-based question and answer systems. So when someone says, hey, should I vaccinate my child, they don't get like such a mixed review that they don't know what to do after they're done. They get really hard knowledge, and it's delivered by all these different people who somebody may specialize specifically in that. And they could contribute that question, and then that, of course, that question would be rated up and bad answers would be rated down. So those kind of things we actually couldn't accomplish with the old network. So when I decided, okay, well, it's time to build a new one, because that's actually, I'm also a web designer and developer. What happened was, is I said, okay, let's do something different. Let's go open source, because we have so much information now with this 20-something thousand images and thousands of books. And, you know, we know all the spiritual teachers and that are in the industry, et cetera. Let's see if we can get everyone else to assist each other. So basically this concept is taken, and this is why I say that technology, you know, is revealing certain things. This concept is taken from just the idea of open source and how that's been quite disruptive to many of the larger companies that have maintained that, you know, that patent-based, what do they call that, a walled garden kind of thing where nobody knows how it's created, nobody can input with it. And then obviously when companies came out, and there's many of them, if you see a list, you're using open source stuff all day these days. And that list shows that people had another common interest beside money, which was knowledge. And knowledge actually of the right type could actually have some kind of monetary value. So that idea I decided, because all this stuff can always be crossed over to something, we can use the term spiritual or progressive. And so I decided, well, yeah, let's use all of our minds to dissect what's happening here on the planet, because it's going to take that amount of, if you may, processing power for us to begin to enjoy and experience what we really have here. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. You know, there's more. I know a couple of startups that are actually doing something like this as well, and they're using bots or chat bots. So there seems to be a movement or a trend of getting information and sometimes even anonymous information out to people that is at their fingertips, you know, humanoid, whatever, Google, so to speak. Do you feel that, because, you know, you are more ensconced in the tech world, do you feel that that is a thrust of where we're going in the new paradigm, that this will be more commonplace?
If enough of us pioneer, yes. What's happening now is, like, my tech arm is as strong as my spiritual arm, because I had completely walked away from the matrix and all it had to offer, because I had actually discovered how the chakra centers work. And I was utilizing them and I was seeing profound things. And then when I would study, I'd figure out that other people had already come across this ability. So to me, when I use spirit tech, that term spirit tech, I'm basically saying spiritual technology. So I'm saying, how do you amplify the field that is already spiritual field that's already existent within the body?
There.
And so this is a different direction in many ways to where AI is going and where all those industries of VR and AR, which we're very abreast of. But it's basically still taking the concept of any kind of progression that we have is still being, the best term is, plagiarized. Any kind of technological progression we're having in the physical world is being plagiarized from the spiritual world. So, and also the anatomy and the dynamics
of
the body.
Right. But everything is consciousness, right? So you're using, I mean, you can see it when you start, even when you have, you know, devices or computers, when you start up-leveling your energy or expanding in consciousness, those devices don't work as well. You know, the resonance isn't there.
Well, that is true. That's because of the Well, that's because of the magnetic field in the body. So what obviously as the magnetic field amplifies, then magnetic fields disrupt electronic devices, and that's those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. So electricity and then magnetic, and then those two fields together.
Right, until the devices are updated or up leveled, or there's some shift in the technology to be able to hold that frequency or be able to, you know, co-mingle with it. I mean, I get this all the time as a channeler that, you know, things go wonky around me, you know, the devices and stuff. right.
Yeah, and also, you know, and it's also, I mean, just to be, you know, frank, I mean, the technology we're using now or how we're choosing to use it is very low tech. Mm-hmm. The human body is obviously capable of doing a massive amount of things, but when it fails to do those things, let's say even in communication, we can have communication, mm-hmm. as I've been listening to your show, directly from our frontal lobe with everything here on the planet, mm-hmm. through an organic grid. But when we can no longer do that, then obviously we would need some kind of inorganic grid in order to begin to communicate, and they would call that cell phone networks. So what we find at the core mm-hmm. basis of any general unit that's doing any kind of processing is actually a silicone chip. And then we find that silicone and carbon, like obviously we're carbon-based life forms, silicone and carbon have a very unique relationship even on the periodic table. So this goes to show that basically the laws of light, which are the higher laws of the universe that govern the laws of fire or the world of fire, those laws of light show the connections between things. And when something is created that is very similar to another, then there becomes almost like, hey, I need to be around you. So if we look at silicon and silicone, which are silicates, we find these computers all around us. We also find implants, you know, people utilizing and women utilizing implants, which is, of course, silicone. So these kind of things are basically it's a chemical relationship, right? Like it's a chemical
mm-hmm.
love.
Biochemical.
And so what I believe is that obviously you see that there's a way to use the tech, like obviously when you're using magnetics and, you know, you can actually stimulate your chakra centers. You can, you know, take down inflation and those kind of things with magnetic fields. So we find that just like there's oil, there's also things like hydrogen. And what we're kind of mm-hmm. using right now, and that's, again, to be very clear in our technology, is we're using the oil version of technology. And so what Spirit Tech does is it looks to go back into what we were doing before when we were already very mm-hmm. advanced, like, you know, whatever put the Nazca lines down, right? So at that stage of advancement, then that use of things has more purpose. And this is the last thing. This is something that can clearly give the person the demarcation. Where is the demarcation line in this? The demarcation line is it dictating to you? Is it telling you how mm-hmm. to react? So obviously when you're mm-hmm. looking at a TV, the TV is sending a program and it's telling you how to react. If you take a device like Fiaqua, Fiaqua allows you to program water, and you program water with what you want. So you see the difference mm-hmm. in direction? Something is either telling you or you're using it to actually do what you want
to
do. But now notice, again, all the technology around us, to amplify your energy. So you could set a checklist then, basically, is what we're saying. And in that checklist, let's say if a device fails five of those checks on the list or four, then we know that that's going to be more of counterproductive. So if we look at a phone, true enough, we can send a command to go call some person, but the phone on our ear and all that is not giving us energy. The phone, you know, with all the ads and the Facebook and the time, it's not giving us energy.
It's
the phone, you know, exactly. Yeah. So that's
what
we're talking about.
Well, let me ask you, too. There's a whole, let me ask you, too, because there's a whole theory of, and I do find this to be true anecdotally. So I'll ask you from a more science engineer/engineer point of view. That actually the silicon chip and the way that the screens are set up on devices actually innervates us. It actually drains, it either over amplifies our energy, it's very unbalancing, and over time ends up draining us. And part of that is because that silicon does not work well with our nervous system. What are your thoughts on that?
It's actually, there's a form of like silica, let's say, for instance, and these are all silicates that are actually very helpful to the body.
Yeah, I take silica,
And
I take silica.
Exactly, so it helps with the tendons and the nerve endings
mm-hmm.
and things. So what we're dealing with is that most of these devices, and this is kind of like, I think there's a documentary called The Light Bulb Theory or something like that, The Light Bulb Conspiracy, that's what it's called. And it's basically that when devices are created to burn a lot of electricity, because obviously if there's an oil business and energy is developed by mostly oil and combustion, then the need, if you can get people to create use more of it, then they would pay for more of it and buy more of it. So when you look at the standard technology that's available, just like they showed a light bulb in this documentary that's actually been on for 100 years, and then actually unveiling the entire conspiracy of things being created to last shorter because manufacturers want it to last only a certain period of time, so you have to come and buy another one. So the same thing happens with computers and especially computer monitors, that the amount of energy that the liquid crystal needs in order to actually power itself is such a strong field that that field is disharmonic or comes into disresonance with the field that's around our body. And that's what we're looking at then, that it's a little bit on the – right. And so, again, and that's a product of how we're choosing to utilize the energy. So this is like the same thing as now that we've discovered that actually everything is energy and you have many renewable energies, but we're still choosing to use oil. This would be the same thing as that, hey, there's actually these little, just, they look basically like PVC or paper. It's just basically looks like a piece of plastic, a thin sheet. And the screen, that's what we're calling a screen, can appear on that. And the amount of electricity and electromagnetics that comes off of something like that is very minimal. So it would be like kind of like if you're creating a house, let's say in the jungle, if you go and try to create this ultra-modern house, it is going to throw the entire jungle around it off of harmony, and they're probably going to try to eat the house after a while. But if you kind of build it and you use these sustainable materials, bamboo, these kind of things, then you'll find that actually it comes into harmonics with it. And so I think that that's what we're talking about, or I know that's what we're talking about when it comes to this technology, is that there's a certain level of what we're using now, and it really helps the world keep its whole business thing going. And then there's the other use of it that actually can be very instrumental in repairing some of the things that you would literally need to repair thousands, if not millions of humans of that same issue. So if we targeted, let's say we used a unit to target specifically that one bacteria, Candida, then something like that would be very useful for billions of people because everyone has a little bit more Candida than they need. So these are the kind of things that, but at the end of the day, and this is another thing to drill into, is because, see, most people that have this kind of technical ability, because, you know, there's a difference between when you say you can do something versus you can really do it. So when you can really do it and you have that kind of technical know-how, generally that person, the last thing they're actually thinking about is, how am I going to create something to, you know, help people get rid of bacteria? They're normally thinking of, well, what's going to be the next catchy device and electronics that everyone's going to use so I can become rich. And then you have, just after that, pseudoscience, which is people that actually want to build something that can do certain things and know it can be possible, but don't actually have the wherewithal in order to create something like that.
So with what you're doing with the social media tribe or network, how are you accessing people's insider information or help? What are the bones of it?
Well, the first is, one of the strongest component is our question and answer section. And also because we're communal as human beings, it is really the connection. I mean, people have gotten married from meeting on the site, and, you know, there's been immense connections. You hear about people all the time just going to a whole nother state to link up with another member. And then also because, you know, this is a large world, there's information that is completely in another language sometimes, or somebody that may have not been that good at doing social media that had brought out something very interesting, but nobody really knew about it except for people in their nucleus. And so when you have an open source network like this, and you're literally saying, hey, if you find something, bring it to us, we'll list it, we'll put it up there, we make sure it gets some spin, but we curate it. And that means that we don't want to be counterproductive. Mm-hmm. We don't want tons of stuff there that's not able to be understood.
Right.
So this is how we utilize it the most, is just, in a certain sense, distilling, if you may, all of the information to its, you know, to its core, and then allowing, so when a person comes in, and especially new people, because they have like a tolerance for this that's very short, They come in and then they get right to the meat of the whole thing. And that's all we're doing. And the reason why I really set out to do that was because I didn't find it. Like when I first woke up, based on the experience I was having, because everyone has different experiences, I couldn't actually find information on the internet that could tell me what I had experienced. And then we came up with this term, if you don't see the portal, be the portal. Basically, if you don't see it, don't go balling
like
up
that.
Into the corner and, you know, and all the whole thing that we do sometimes on emotional level. It means that, because in business, technically, that means that you found something that everyone has a problem with that has not been solved. So if you create a solution for something like that, then you have something that's very successful. You have some level of fulfillment there. So that's all I do.
That's
I just
right.
take these what do you call the maxims that are used in the reality that are still always pertaining to something very physical and based. And I say, well, what is it as above or a spiritual component or correlation? And then I extract that, and then I figure out how to actually begin to bring people to it, whether I'm just educating them about it or whether I'm creating something that actually is able to harness that power.
I love that. Yeah, it's so true also that because the soul works, or, you know, individually for us and collectively as the universe, by the need. You know, you're sad. Mm-hmm. If you don't see it, then create it. There's the opening. There's the realness.
Right.
You're satisfying a genuine need. And I agree with you that it is very fulfilling. It is for you and those around.
And this,
I love that.
And
be
of course,
the portal.
Yeah, be the portal.
Yeah.
Because this also, of course, it allows us to start to realize that there really is no limit. Like what actually happens is,
that's
and a
right.
friend was describing this to me the other day, and I said, you know, this is great because what he was explaining to me in his own experience, that there's, of course, a lot of books out there that tell you, you know, you need to think positive, you need to do all these things. And we kind of even know how to kind of fake do that to ourselves. So it's almost like we load ourselves with this program. I'm supposed to be positive. But if you ask, let's say, a woman that loves her child, you know, does she love her child? There's no question in there about whether she loves her child or not. And I love this example. But at the same time, if you ask someone, you know, do you really want to achieve sovereignty? Is it at the same equation of someone who knows that they love their child, or is it much less? And of course, a person will agree, well, yeah, it's kind of much less. I'm not like that convinced about it, like a mother and her child. But of course, they're saying that you would literally need to get to that level of belief in something to allow it to manifest. So, you know, this is what I do sometimes. I just give myself these gauges to go by in relation to, you know, really making things happen. And then what I've done is I've realized that the biggest limitation was really myself, but there was also some assistance to me derailing myself. And this would be called the programmed reality, which tries to actually put boundaries and barriers with what we can truly conceive. And then after a while, you kind of realize that there's a sequence to this, that there's actually real thoughts, real information tied into what you are attempting to do and what you want to accomplish. So let's say if a person has a big projection, and we use that word projection or vision, then it's going to need some kind of power, just like a projector needs power.
That's
and then the amount of current then that you have running through your consciousness and sometimes through your bank account will actually determine, because that's
whatever
called currency, it'll actually determine how fast that's able to manifest, if at all. And then so this same process, and then also the birthing process, which is, of course, when you become a father or mother, you get that a bit more. And even when you own a company, you figure out that this is your baby and now you have to take care of it, or it will get hurt, or it will become whatever. Something will happen to it if you don't take care of it. So these kind of things, I found that the most important thing is actually just to stay charged up with enough energy, that there were actually things that were vying for energy, because there's a misconception on the dimension that energy is running out or there's a finite amount.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, a very interesting
well, that's
thing
very
because
old
it's connected
paradigm.
To death.
But I think also it's been a
this
great
is almost like a
marketing tool.
Excuse me.
I
would say it's kind of like an infinite paradigm in a tense, unless a person's able to break the spell of death. Because actually, before there's any of those thoughts, there's the I'm running out of time thoughts. And that has to start with a concept of birth. So if you believe in birth, you have to actually believe in death. So what I found is, again, there's kind of like they call it a double bind. There's kind of like two hinges to something that you're looking to get through. Right. So this is, you know, this is the kind of information that we point out. I actually, instead, before I really launched the Spirit Tech side of things, because remember, Spirit Tech is an arm of secret mm-hmm. energy, what happened was is I was challenged at times to see if how much I could simplify this information, because it was, you know, we were pulling the symbols, we were pulling the history, we were pulling everything. And mm-hmm. so I created the InterVersity, which is basically a school for advanced spiritual knowledge. And in the InterVersity, I began to take all of this apart in core subjects like internal cleansing, celestial mechanics, mm-hmm. like how the body is connected to the cosmos exactly, and how much empirical mm-hmm. proof do we already have of that, and how 100 years ago, almost exactly, there was an Enlightenment era. You can Google it, and it's in Wikipedia. And during that Enlightenment era, what we are actually experiencing right now in this time that we think is new was actually going on then. And everything that was quote-unquote mystical was sequestered and pulled into sanctums to where it can be studied for, you know, where its origins and where its power was. And then through that process, that actually was the formation of many of the secret societies today, because that knowledge is actually still held within those sanctums. And that's what I was mentioning mm-hmm. earlier about the laws of light, because those laws actually, they're more superior than the laws of fire. So the laws of fire is like what we would mm-hmm. actually call spirituality. Even the word spirit actually right. refers to mm-hmm. a flame or a fire. And right. so what happens right. is that something, well, as there's always form. Boundaries to everything, light is what is keeping those boundaries between the worlds mm-hmm. of fire. And we have a light body, we know that. So the thing is that mm-hmm. when we learn the laws of light, we basically are able to jump in this other vehicle. And then we're able
well,
to
we
actually
go beyond
handle
the light
things
body
in the physical
too, right?
reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's an all-knowing.
And that's
the final...
Yeah.
Yeah, the final frontier is just all-knowing. And this, of course, this is mm-hmm. spoken about in the ancient text, like the Kemetan text. You know, all-knowing is a space yeah. where we're already everything. So to tap into that space, you can't think your way into all-knowing. You know, there's a specific
that's right.
process that you go through here on
well,
Earth
you just
that actually gets
it.
You prepared
when
for
you,
that. Exactly,
right.
you're
but
just I, being
but actually, when, yeah, yeah. when you're being it, then there's no discernment there. There's no boundary, so you can't even talk about it because you're it. So there's no separation. So now, because
exactly.
we're ramming out of time here, now, Sivan, what is your dream, your focus with the secret energy?
Well, actually, the culmination of all these projects is to actually solve some of the more bigger issues that are going on in the reality, such as there's a real lockup with banking, and there's a lockup with, you know, how
yeah.
much when a person spends
yeah.
their energy. Notice your aura spins. So how much a person spends their energy, how much they get back from that spin. And if they're overvaluing
right.
the reality and their place here, okay, because it doesn't actually take that much power
right.
to run what most people are doing in the reality. They just overcompensate. So because they do that, it's more like in a spiritual inflation, that a person is actually spending more of their spiritual power than the projection that they're having is worth. So the actual process
mm-hmm.
that we're going through now, the bigger vision, is to solve those issues by creating our own form of current, that, and then also mm. a place to where a person can develop that current by learning what is the most prominent things in the reality. So there are many industries
mm-hmm.
right now that are very prominent and showing a deal of promise for where things are going in the future. And so obviously what happens is when a person goes to university and those kind of things is they're not taught about those kind of things. So
mm-hmm.
we're creating a place that actually teaches those things and how it funds itself, because it's not a charity. We don't want to spend time asking anyone for anything. How it
right.
funds itself is it funds itself off of the beautiful things that are created in that facility. So it's something, you know,
very
dynamic.
To create its own biosphere. You've got its own biosphere.
Exactly. It's basically like a permaculture on all levels. Exactly.
Yeah,
so, Brittany, so that means
exactly.
that long
yeah.
after I'm gone, it still is capable of sustaining itself without
yeah.
the need of someone managing and micromanaging it. And then also there's one really important part.
And not being personality-based is what I hear as well by what you're saying.
For sure. I mean, it's
yeah.
a wheel. So we're not going to reinvent the wheel. It has
yeah.
to have all aspects of the spectrum, and we just know a lot more about that. So then when we put that together, and we will, then it's an open source prototype. So then someone can take it in Australia, someone can take it in Japan, someone can
mm-hmm.
take it in different places and actually begin that nucleus where they are. So So, you know, that's what we are already really far along on this. This is now 7 years of us working on, you know, all the different aspects
wow,
to get to
long.
This level. Yeah, it does wow. take some time, and one should get prepared.
Right. So, Simone, let me give people, because we're at that time, people are okay. saying thank you, great show, wonderful show. A couple people that
awesome.
Knew of you that caught the show. And, okay, so let's look at this. So I just want to let everybody know we've been talking with Simone Beaumar and author of The Code to the Matrix. And then you can go to secretenergy.com, and that's the social media tribe based on open source spirituality. So if you want more information.
Yes.
Now, can people go to the site? Is there contact, get more information, or is it all pretty self-explanatory?
Oh, yeah, it is one of those things where, because it's very dense, meaning that there's a lot of content there, but we do our best
okay.
to, you'll see it's curated pretty well as far as
Facts.
The person being able to get to what
FAQ.
You want. Yeah, there,
okay.
Yeah,
great.
Well, yeah, there's tons of resources. And then if not, you could just hit the chat and ask somebody how to do it, and I'm sure they'll be more than helpful to show you.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, wow, this has been great. Got an open door policy to come back anytime you have something to share. Thanks for spending our day with you. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. And also, you know, thanks so much, Michelle, for having me on and also Sadie getting in touch with me. I mean, it's been an amazing time. And for sure, I would love to come on in the future and, you know, dig a little deeper, especially if some of the mysteries that we discovered, you know, when we went through all this information and what we discovered is where we really are in consciousness. So it would be great to get on and talk about that sometime.
Okay, sounds great.
Right. Okay, wholeness.
Take good care. All right, everyone. So if you feel a resonance, you can go to secretenergy.com. And Simone's book is The Code to the Matrix. And you can find out more information about Secret Energy at secretenergy.com, as well as the offshoot Spirit Tech. All right. You guys got a nice little taste, a little treat there. And if you feel a resonance, you can find out more. Thanks, everyone in the chat, for all your love, light, and wisdom and really holding the space, grounding the space there. And thank you, callers, for calling in. And I also want to give an etheric hug to everybody listening in the archives, whether TuneIn Radio, FM Player, BTR, iTunes, and the other podcast stations that we broadcast from. All right. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.